today. The left continues to implode over COVID restrictions, and the fact checkers are fake news yet again. But you will love the mental gymnastics they have to do in order to say something is fake when it is, in fact, real news. We've got all that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Hey, welcome to the news and why it matters. Happy hump day. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I'm joined today by chief researcher of the Glenn Beck program. It is Wednesday, and he is here, Jason Buttrell. Thanks for being here.
Cleanest best t-shirt for you, Sarah.
Wearing your
Nothing
Sunday
best
as usual. I'm so glad you dressed up to see me. Also, on his main voyage on the show, we have Colin Wright, who is managing editor at Quillette. Also, just, you know, no big deal, just an evolutionary biologist as well.
Thanks for having me. I think maybe ex-evolutionary biologist. I left academia,
Okay. Yeah, that's true, because you don't want to really be associated with their kind anymore.
I still like evolution and all that stuff, but academia sort of imploded since I left. I kind of left as, like, the bus was exploding behind me. That's kind of how I feel, like one of those
It Was it a mostly mostly peaceful protest behind you going on as you were leaving? Okay. all right. So let's get into the news of the day. So Stacey Abrams, we talked about this on the program yesterday, you guys. So those of you who watch the show every day, this is no shock to you. But Stacey Abrams, if you are living under a rock and hadn't heard, she was caught maskless at a school in Georgia. Remember, the campaign said it was one photo. She took her mask off for one photo, you guys. Oh, oops. And then like three more surfaced of her in different places of the school. All the pictures, no mask on whatsoever. But don't worry, she did make sure to mask the young children who are not actually prone to anything bad happening to them from COVID. She made sure to mask them behind her. So she's doing all right, so she says. But here is Stacey Abrams apologizing for all of these photos of her unmasked, associating with all of these people, but making the plebs wear their masks. Here's Stacey Abrams on CNN.
I will say this. I went to read to kids for an African-American read-in day. I approached the podium with my mask on. I followed the protocols. I told the kids I'm taking my mask off because I'm reading to kids who are listening remotely as well. And we were socially distanced. The kids were socially distanced from me. I told them that's what I was doing. And then the excitement after I finished, because it was so much fun working with those kids, I took a picture, and that was a mistake. Protocols matter, and protecting our kids is the most important thing, and anything that can be perceived as undermining that is a mistake, and I apologize.
Yeah, a lot of social distancing going on in that picture, you guys. Also, the social distancing that was going on in the other pictures that we've seen, I believe OutKick was the one who broke that story of her standing, like, you know, right here, right next to adults, administrators of the school, who also they, you know, she was not wearing a mask there as well. Not a lot of social distancing, but who can blame those kids for being so excited to see Stacey Abrams come read at their school? I'm sure they were just jumping for joy. They just couldn't contain themselves.
Oh, I'm sure they were, because, you know, I'd wager maybe 90% of the country doesn't know who Stacey Abrams is, but I'm sure all those kids did, and it made them very, very excited.
Jason, that's very unfair to say, because as we know, she is the true governor of Georgia.
It's true.
How could they not know their own governor. Their own rightful governor.
I know, right? The point you just pointed out about how OutKick had to release these photos. Yeah. OutKick. So one photo had already come out. When you covered it yesterday, did you cover the additional ones?
No, we didn't have them yet.
So, like, they're bad.
Yeah.
Especially because the first one came out, and then the campaign spokesman said that, basically it was like, how dare you, you know, an African-American read-in, Black History Month.
Which you noticed she made sure to bring in. I was there for an African-American read-in. Yeah. You can't criticize me. I'm Black.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was one of the tactics. And the other tactic was, she just took the mask off to talk to the kid. She was far away. But that was it. She showed up and then followed all the protocols.
Yeah.
Well, then OutKick is like, oh, yeah, bam. And then, and I think even there she just said one picture.
Yeah.
But there was like four other pictures that were released. One where she's taking a group photo. One where she's like hanging out in another place. She never wore a mask.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
And obviously we don't care about that. But the hypocrisy here is staggering.
Mm.
And there's always, in every one of these, when there's always that one moron, right, that reveals very publicly how they really feel about everything they're lying about or what they really don't actually care about. There's that one moron, And Miss Abrams, you are that moron this time. We like you.
Yeah, she had a really good sort of PR writer for that one.
Yeah.
But that was all predicated on the fact that this was the only photo that would be released and nothing else would come.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, yeah, and I think
as soon as those other ones come out, then it's sort of the jig is up.
But see, but that's my question is, if the mainstream media doesn't ever pull those other ones, does she have to admit to them? I feel like they live in this world where if CNN doesn't report on it, they just don't even have to say that it happened.
Well,
they can pretend like it doesn't.
The
right?
media used to do that. They used to do their job on these things. Like if there was a claim, they used to get curious. They'd be like, well, maybe we should see if other photographs were there so that we can, you know, corroborate what the campaign manager says. But it took OutKick.
Right.
OutKick had to do this, not the Post, not the Times. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. So we'll see if Stacey Abrams, you know, Governor Stacey Abrams actually ever, you know, suffers any consequences from this. But I mean, I can't blame them. If I was the left and I just constantly was able to get away with being hypocritical and putting all of these restrictions on other people while not having to abide by them myself, and then when I get caught, nothing really bad happens. So I'm like, I'll keep doing it. Why wouldn't you, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you at that point? Like, no one is teaching you that your bad behavior has any consequences, right?
Yeah, everyone's just going to cover for you. So there's not really an incentive structure put up where people are going to be held accountable for anything.
Right.
I think that's basically, I think, what people get pissed off the most is the whole hypocrisy involved in it and the cover-up after the fact.
Yeah, well, and, you know, masking my child in a school who, well, not my child, but those of you who send your kids to these public schools and they're being masked, it's like, my kid isn't even, like, statistically speaking, it's like his risk of death is zero, and you're going to mask him and tell me that it's for his protection? Get out of here.
What's crazy is 5 years ago, probably like 5 years ago, maybe something long, well, maybe a little bit farther back, but something like this would tank a campaign.
Yeah.
Absolutely tank. Like, they got caught lying about something, and not only that, not only they lied about it, but they showed that they don't really believe in the thing that this is the only issue for them. Mm-hmm. COVID and how to handle it is the only issue. That's what they campaigned on. Nothing else, just COVID. Well, now here's the poster child, Stacey Abrams, saying, yeah, and we all know this because we keep on seeing other, you know, photographs from other places where they're not wearing masks.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom, you know, the list goes on. But they obviously don't care about this. It's very, very public. But, like, I remember Mitt Romney, he got his entire campaign got tanked over that.
Binder of women?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
It tanked his campaign. Now we're so, this is how, I guess it's just a lesson in polarization and how polarized we are now. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's already chosen their side. I think now that no matter what side you're on, you know your politician or your guy or girl is lying about everything.
Yeah.
But now I think people feel like they can't go back. And they're just going to back that candidate, you know, regardless.
Yeah. I just wonder how prevalent back in the day dunking on someone publicly was. Whereas that's like a commonality just on social media. Everyone gets dunked on Twitter. So it's not even a big deal anymore when someone gets dunked on like that in public anymore. It's just like, oh,
that's
just another Wednesday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. By the way, here is that picture from OutKick. That does not look like a bunch of children who were just so excited and jumping for joy over Stacey Abrams reading them a book for African American Read-In Day that they had to just surround her. That just looks like just blatant hypocrisy.
And there's more than that.
Oh, I know.
Worse.
I know. I know. You know, we're talking about Stacey Abrams and these people and campaigns. I find it very fascinating that the left, I guess, doesn't have anyone else and just continues to run the same people who are losing, like Robert Francis O'Rourke, right? Beto O'Rourke.
Or just not relevant at all.
Stacey Abrams. It's like, how many times can these people lose their elections before you stop running them? Do you really have that small of a or no bench, I guess? Like, it's fascinating to watch. And then I think about it and I'm like, I guess they don't have anyone.
What's weird is they had clearly marked Stacey Abrams back when she lost the election.
Wow.
That's a crazy thing to say. I know. But they had clearly marked. I remember I was looking at like Democracy Alliance events. That's the George Soros big dark super PAC thing. They had her as like the keynote speaker after that, and they were showing her in all these different states, clearly setting her up for something a lot grander.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what is the appeal? What has she done? What does she do? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't. I guess their barrel is that small. Because Beto is another animal, though. I don't know. I almost get the sense that I think they do want Stacey Abrams to be successful. I kind of feel like they just want Beto to go away.
Yeah, because he says the quiet parts out loud. They're like, don't tell them we're taking their guns from them. You're not supposed to say that. And Beto just says it out loud.
So yeah, I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah, they're like, shut up. I think that's Beto's problem. Okay, so Colin, let me ask you this. Since you're new to the program, right? Ex-evolutionary biologist, so you did work in academia. I feel like I need to ask you where you fall in the political spectrum.
You know, I don't even know anymore. Yeah. So I've always voted Democrat my entire life, including last election. I didn't vote for Biden, voted for Tulsi Gabbard, though.
Yeah.
But now she's considered alt-right or something.
Yeah, she's, I don't even know what she's
so weird.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what that is anymore. That's so weird why she's considered.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to, so I still kind of consider myself on the left, but I think the whole political, you know, spectrum is kind of off kilter, where we now sort of have the authoritarians and the libertarians, and then we have this woke thing is doing this completely other thing. I usually don't describe woke as even being left. It's just kind of like down or up. It's like it's on a Z-axis, just going in a completely different direction.
Interesting.
Because I find myself, who a lifelong liberal, like, I can't even talk to them. I can talk to conservatives. I can talk to Christians, and I'm myself an atheist, but I can talk to them. Because we're using the same sort of language, we're using evidence, we might come to different conclusions, but you talk to the other, you know, the sort of woke left, and they don't even agree on foundational principles of knowledge and how to even come to, how to gather evidence, and, you know, they're all about power dynamics and things like that. It's completely, it's completely different than anything I've ever encountered before.
Right. So then as someone who has historically voted for Democrats, what do you think of how they're running things now? And they have, as we just mentioned, Stacey Abrams running for governor again. Nobody likes Stacey Abrams. Beto O'Rourke running for governor again. Nobody likes Beto O'Rourke. Like, who? What are they doing? Who do they have? Why don't they have a bench that they are picking from? Why aren't they, for lack of a better term, grooming people to be someone? Why are they just using these same failed people?
I'm not sure why they wouldn't go all in on someone like Tulsi Gabbard, who has the liberal values, has even the identity points, you know, woman of color, was ex-military. I mean, they're, it checks all the boxes, yet they just demonize this person. She's not woke.
Right.
And so, yeah, the whole platforming of that woke ideology is just taken over, and I'm just so put off by it that I'm likely, depending on who runs, I would definitely consider voting Republican next election.
Yeah.
Even though I think my ideological shift has been very, very small. If anything, I've stayed in the same place while the sort of the center of the spectrum has just, the ground has moved beneath my feet and sort of.
And it is interesting because, Jason, you see he's talking about all of this woke group. I don't think it's that many people. I think they just scream the loudest and the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
That's what you would think, but then it seemed like, I mean, you're watching the last election and everyone was pretty much saying the same stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like everyone has got this intersectional mindset. Like they want to, off different members of society, make them fight each other and tell them that everyone hates each other.
Right.
And that's politics now.
Well, yes, and you say that and all of the candidates were saying the same thing, but also, like, most of them got 1%, you know, of the vote. Our vice president got like 1% of even the Democrats. And at the end of the day, they ended up coming down to two old white men.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like everyone feels like these are the talking points that they're supposed to say, but I don't feel like anyone actually believes it.
The only person that I really, well, I respect Tulsi Gabbard. I think she has, I don't consider her anywhere near conservative at all, and I don't know how that's been become a thing, because she's not.
Well, she did say that she doesn't agree with late-term abortion.
Right.
I mean, so that's very right-wing, fringe.
See, no, that's sane. So, like, I would say that, like, all my friends that are sane Democrats, which I guess you would put yourself in that category, right? Like,
I think I'm sane.
He's on the show,
am I allowed to say that about myself? Like, other people have to say that.
Like, well, that's what it sounds like to me. Like maybe like a JFK-style Democrat or something like that, now there's he would be GOP. Nowadays, they would. I feel like they wouldn't even let him in the Democrat Party anymore. But all my friends that are sane Democrats, I'm not going to vote Republican because there's too many differences. But they don't know what the heck to do. They feel completely isolated. You know, they're politically isolated because everyone else just seems so crazy. Yeah. And none of them have good ideas.
Right.
Like Andrew Yang, I'll listen to him all day long. Mm-hmm. I won't vote for him, but at least he's got some ideas that are different and out of the box, which is very rare all across the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he'll talk to other people who disagree with him. That's mm-hmm.
right.
The
right.
important
right.
part. I mean, you don't get the people who are on the woke left talking to anyone else.
Unless they're just going to shut them down
yeah.
or right. something.
Yeah, unless it's just to, like, dunk on them or call them names.
Talking at them, not talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got more to come, but we got to take a quick break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Built Bar. So I got an email today that Built Bar have their banana cream puffs back in stock, or at least they did earlier. You need to go to the site today, like right after this program, and go check because they sell out of those things very quickly. They are a fan favorite. And let me just tell you, they're one of my favorites as well. But Built Bar is where you need to go if you are looking for a protein bar, something that is going to keep you full, something that is going to keep you on track for your weight loss goals. But it's not going to expand your waistline. It tastes like a candy bar. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They've got that high protein, low calories, low sugar. You got to go get set with Built Bar today. Jason actually hates me because I got his wife hooked on Built Bar.
It's true.
And he's like, dang it, Sarah.
Every
now
day.
She's asking me for more.
Every day when I go to work, I go into work.
Check to see if Sarah asked for Built Bar.
And I do, because as we know, I am the Built Bar dealer in the building. You got to go to built.com, use promo code NEWS15. You'll get 15% off of your order. That is NEWS15 for 15% off over at built.com. There is a video that has surfaced out of New York. This is Webster Central School District. And the video was recorded at a school board meeting. And you can see a security guard. He looks like maybe he's just a not as overweight Paul Blart is what he looks like. When you see the video, you'll understand what I mean. But he is very mad that this man has the audacity to attend the school board meeting and sit there listening intently by himself, sitting there, not causing any problems, but he was not wearing a mask, and that is not okay. That is so not okay that the security guard had to actually put his hands on him and get physical to remove him because he is, as we know, the biggest danger, the biggest threat that mankind has ever faced. Watch.
They found him.
We're in America.
Oh, time to look at this. Look at this. Look. What are you doing? What the f- are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Is this how you treat
what
our children?
What are you doing?
Did you put your hands on the
holy
children like
crap.
That, sir?
Holy crap. Holy crap. That's assault. That is assault. Oh my God.
Is that what they're doing to
oh
the
my God.
Doing that to the children too?
Holy what the f- are you doing? What are you doing?
There are students in the building.
Officer, do something about that.
It's for your health and safety though, guys. All right, it is for your health and safety. And again, if he was such a threat, I don't know why they would get that close to him to kick him out. But as you can see, he's a menace to society, sitting there at the school board meeting, listening intently to what was taking place.
I would like to say that it's this horrible school board, which they are, but I would like to put all the blame on them, and it's, you know, all their authoritarian, you know, like,
I hope you're going
reasons.
Where I think you're going
but,
with this.
But that's BS. It really is. So any government, and again, I'm libertarian, so I hate any government, period. But any government, the more power you give them, they're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to gobble it up like it was Thanksgiving dinner, and they're going to build upon it and build upon it. It's going to grow, and they're going to do whatever they want because they can or they think they can. No, the real problem is all those weak-ass parents sitting in there with their damn masks
Thank you.
On.
Thank you.
That's the problem. And this is going to keep happening if you allow this. All of them should have been sitting there with their masks off.
Did you notice the only people I heard pitching any sort of fit were women. There were a bunch of men who turned and looked and watched and turned back around with their masked up faces. Like, where are the men here standing up? Your children are suffering right now, and you're just sitting there with a damn mask on.
We're weak. We are a weak society now. You want to contrast that to another video that came out today or last night of in Ottawa. So in Ottawa, Trudeau was like, hey, if you bring in, you know, any gas cans to assist or whatever, then you're getting arrested or whatever.
Right.
So they responded the very next day.
Yep.
A huge long line of people bringing in gas cans.
Yeah.
Basically said, screw off, we're doing it anyway.
You can't arrest all of us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what needs to happen.
I know, and we're America. It's supposed to happen here first. Canada's embarrassing us.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that everyone just took the mask off, the literal mask, not like the proverbial mask, off at the same time, then that would be, you know, there wouldn't be anyone just to launch all your arrows at. So if you're the first person to do anything like that, then, you know, you suffer all the social consequences.
I mean, I guess.
But, you know, it's so easy to take these sort of civil liberties away from us, but it's so slow to get them back when you ever try to do that. So, we see the same thing happening in Canada, pretty much everywhere where they've enacted these like authoritarian controls for COVID. You know, it's going to be a slow process coming back. I don't even know if we're ever going to be able to fly planes the next decade without a mask on.
Don't tell me that. I'll never travel.
Everyone can always pull the, you know, I just care so much about you type thing.
Right.
And then, you know, oh, like they're being so nice. We're not going to get rid of these things. Think of the children, too. That's why the kids are always the last ones to have their masks removed. Some states have lifted their mandates, but some schools still say, but this, just the kids need to keep these on.
Yeah, we got to keep them on in the schools.
Yeah, even though I think their risk of dying in a swimming pool is higher than getting COVID, but we don't have them wearing, you know, water wings on everywhere they go, just in case they happen to stumble in a swimming pool.
Right.
So when you put it in terms of this actual statistics of harm, what we're doing is completely nuts.
Yeah. So I'm told that we have a video. I have no idea what the video is. All I know is that it features Randy Weingarten, who, in my opinion, is like the spawn of Satan. And I'm just told that she is talking about how the teachers union feels about the mask mandate guidance. Watch.
What Dr. McBride just told us about masks not particularly being effective for children, what's the argument against taking off masks in schools?
Well, the argument is that you have, well, let me just say this. I am in favor of an off-ramp on masks.
Right.
The real issue becomes, is the spread low enough so that there's no dissemination or transmission in schools? And it's not the teachers transmitting to kids, it's more kids, particularly in elementary schools right now. And so the question really becomes, do we have, that's why I like what Massachusetts has done,
because
what they've said is that on a school by school basis, they said if there's 80% vaccination rates, then those schools can lift the mandates.
There it is. There it is. And it all comes back to the vaccination rate. So basically, everything she said there was completely untrue. And I would like to remind Randy Weingarten, who is the top dog over at this giant teachers union. She should know this. Statistically speaking, as we were mentioning earlier, Colin, the children have a much greater risk of dying from the flu every single year, yet you're not requiring them to wear masks or get a shot, because it's not a real vaccination, for that. So it boggles the mind how she can sit there on national television and be able to speak these falsehoods and have nobody say, actually, hold on a second. What you're saying is not at all true. Are you living in an alternate freaking universe, you devil woman?
That was good. I don't know how I can even follow up on that.
I thought was weird was when she said, you know, she's in favor of having an off-ramp for masks, as though this is suddenly occurring to her now, or rather than in the beginning having an actual off-ramp planned, you know, when we meet these certain things, this is when masks go away. No, they implement the policy first, and then, you know, they have no sort of limiting factor of when this come out. They just sort of wing it by the seat of their pants, and then, oh, is it 80%? Is it like zero COVID? What's the rule? No one ever says this to begin with. It's always just make it up as they go along.
Right. And of course, we do need the 80% vaccination rate for something that they already have told us, their own CDC director has told us, will not stop the transmission, will not stop people from getting it. But you really need that 80%.
Yeah.
Is that not an arbitrary number if it's not stopping the actual transmission?
What's funny is these questions.
I
now,
hate this woman. Thanks a lot, control room.
Ruined
you just
day.
Ruined my whole freaking day. I hate this woman. What a
Yes.
Not going to say it.
These questions, they couldn't even ask or even really talk about, what, 6 months ago. But now, all of a sudden, suddenly the science has changed, which they keep saying. And they can now talk about these things, about an off-ramp for mass. Mm-hmm. No, the science hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. We've had 2 years of data going through schools. And okay, fine, so some of these places in the country, they haven't had schools open for 2 years. But my kids' schools have been open the entire time, except for... What was that, the end of that 1 year or whatever, 2020.
That's been a really long couple years. It's been like 85 years, actually.
Insane.
In my head.
But my kids have been going to school, and then they have like a COVID dashboard, and I look at it. He's in high school. Yeah. So there's a whole lot less touchy-feely going on, if you know what I mean, in the other grades.
Yeah.
But in high schools, there's probably a whole lot of it going on.
Right.
And they very rarely have any kind of outbreak. I mean, at any one time, 10 cases.
Right.
You know, or something like that. Which is probably even more, but they're young and healthy, so they're not showing any symptoms.
Yeah, so
and
cases
exactly
don't matter.
But the cases thing, that's what really irritates me.
Yep.
And you mentioned the zero COVID. That's like that's their goal. Right. And they know that will never happen.
Yeah.
They know that will never. They can't even do zero COVID in China when they can force people to lock down and put them in bubbles. Like
right.
They can't even do it there.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. The variants keep getting, you know, less and less severe. This is going how nature has usually done these things in the past. But I mean, it's
which is
all
why,
too clear.
Jason. Which is why every single for the last two freaking years, every time I can't think. I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. Colin's going to come off thinking that I'm like super conceited. We have been shut up, Jason. We have been right on this every single time. The whole 2 years, I can't think of one thing that we've been wrong on. You know why? Because it just took common sense to say, okay, it's a respiratory virus. This is how these usually work. This is the standard for, why would a cloth mask work? Why would all these things work? Like, it just took a little bit of common sense to know that these things were going to happen. Like, that, it blows my mind that now they're like, oh, well, the science has changed. Oh, well. No, it just took a little bit of common freaking sense to know how things like this typically work to predict that it would be the same freaking thing. But I'm not an evolutionary biologist, so what do I know? All right, we've got to take another quick break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Genucel. So listen up, there is only 1 week left to save 60% off Genucel's most popular package for Valentine's Day. So gentlemen, if you have not yet gotten something for your lady, you gotta get on it, all right? She's gonna be very mad if you don't get her Genucel. Now, from now until Valentine's Day, you can get the brand new Genucel anti-aging primer. It gives you a really, really, really nice glow on your skin. Flawless finish. It is free with every order of Genucel's most popular package. I have to tell you guys, this new primer, it uses botanical extracts to really, really hydrate you, brighten your finish look. And I got some. And I let my mom use it as well. I love it. My mom uses it. She has, obviously, she's my mother, so she has more mature skin than me. And she took a picture and sent it to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, your skin looks amazing. She said, I'm using the Genucel primer that you let me use. So I'm just saying, guys, if you want to make your ladies very, very happy for Valentine's Day, or ladies, if you just want to treat yourself, all right, you've got to go to genucel.com/Y. That is genucel.com/Y. You're going to get 60% off their most popular package. You're going to get an upgrade to free priority shipping, and you're going to get that primer, genucel.com/Y. Well, you may remember the story that we brought you about the Biden administration, well, all in the name of racial equity, sending free crack pipes out throughout the country because, look, they want to make sure that if you are a drug user, that you at least have nice equipment to continue your drug habit with. And yes, you may be asking, am I as a taxpayer paying for people to be sent, for druggies to be sent free crack pipes? The answer is yes. You are actually going to work so that you can fund people's cocaine and methamphetamine and what, I guess that would be crack, right? I don't know because I'm not a drug user. I have no idea. But we talked about it. This was a real story. This was in the budget for, I believe it was the Department of Health and Human Services. And it was in the Substance Abuse Harm Reduction Grant. So Snopes got a hold of this story, and in their the gymnastics that they have to go through to be able to call something mostly false or lacking context or whatever the case may be. I just wanted to, just in case you hear this from your liberal friends, that didn't actually happen because Snopes said that this was mostly false. You fake newser, you actually can be rest assured that it is actually true, and here's why. Snopes listed this claim as mostly false. And if you read the fine print, it says what's true. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Substance Abuse Harm Reduction Grant did require recipients to provide safer smoking kits to existing drug users. But what's false is that there were like actually a lot of components of this grant program, and this wasn't the most important one. It wasn't the grant's primary focus. It wasn't the purpose of the program. So this particular story is mostly false. That was what Snopes used. Now, by the way, my producer did go back to the story right before we aired this show, and Snopes is now calling it outdated. So they're just saying it's outdated. And by the way, it's this newly stipulated detail of the grant program was not originally available, meaning the assertions made in a first wave of coverage had become outdated. So just so you know, the fact checkers that are getting people kicked off of YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all of these places, this is what they're using, and this is how they are coming to the conclusions they're coming to convince you not to believe your own eyes and ears. It's fascinating. Colin.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to Snopes before, and I thought they used to not be partisan, but it's clear that they can now take statements that are completely true and construe them as mostly false, just because they don't include every single bit of information you could possibly include in the story. Like, was it true that they're using crack pipes? They're giving crack pipes to people? Yes, that is entirely true.
Yeah.
Are they only giving crack pipes to people? No, they're probably giving more things to them, but that's even more concerning, possibly.
Yeah, needles, I think. Yeah. And yeah, there's definitely more than just the crack pipes, but they don't include that context, right? And I recall, I think it was during the Joe Biden's campaign, people would say something off the wall that he said, and it would end up in one of these fact-checking articles, and they'd be like, well, yeah, I mean, Joe Biden did say that, but obviously what he really meant was this. And it's like, oh, okay, now we're giving him a pass because we think what he really meant was that. That would have been nice for you guys to give the other side, ever.
Yeah. Now, the fact-checking is just such a meme at this point. I mean, it really is. And like how you talk about the grading system, and this goes into how deceptive they are. Mostly false, by definition, is kind of true, right? And that's what they do, is they take something that actually does have truth to it, but because they have a partisan mission to accomplish there, they take everything else that doesn't have anything to do with what you just said, and they make that the focus of it. That way they can slap a mostly false on it, but they also, in these things, they recognize, and we always point this out, that there was truth to what they were trying to debunk in whole. That's a very complicated way to saying, yes, they are partisan and full of crap.
Yeah.
I remember we had to fight this all the time here, all the time. And I remember there was one, we did some story, I think it was Joe Biden's ancestors were slave owners. It was completely true. It was,
Kamala's.
Huh?
It was Kamala's.
No, it was Joe Biden's.
Oh, both of them.
It was just Joe Biden.
Okay. I saw a story that Kamala's ancestors were slave owners as well.
That was probably true as well. But, but this one we did, and there was genealogists that had done this. They're very respected, their version of peer reviewed.
Yeah.
And there was bulletproof. And we're like, hey, we're not saying this is whatever, but by your own standards, this should mean something to you, right?
Right.
And they fact checked it, said it was false. So they handed it to me, our people, and I looked at it. And what they actually listed as saying that it was mostly false was nothing we even said in our entire deal. And I was like, wait a minute. So we wrote it back. And so this thing that you're saying attributing to
we
us is false.
Said.
We never said that.
Yeah.
And so it took like a couple of weeks, but by then the damage is done.
Yep. Yeah.
Then they write a small little thing and say, upon further blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But you could still search for it if you wanted to. And the only thing you would see on the top was still mostly false.
Yep. Mostly false, yeah. Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. All right, you know what? Let's go ahead and take a quick break. There are a couple things that I want to get to when we come back, if we have time for them. So first, we want to thank our sponsor, CB Distillery. So look, after you go and you get the Genucel for your loved one, you need to go to CB Distillery because nothing shows that you care about your loved one by giving your Valentine the gift of better sleep and wellness from CBDistillery.com. Seriously, you guys, the news is crazy. Everyone's lives are crazy. Everyone needs way, way, way more sleep. And you can do that with CB Distillery. They have a special Valentine's Day assortment of CBD products. And the potential health benefits of CBD are, I don't know if you guys have looked into this. By the way, it's not like you're not smoking a joint, okay? It's not THC. I'm not promoting drugs to you people, okay? They've got better sleep. You can get better sleep with CBD. Less worry, less anxiety, more calm. And we all need that in our lives right now. They've got over 2 million customers. They are the source to go to for safe, effective, and natural CBD products. I have them at home. They've worked wonders for us. In fact, I feel like I need one right now after I saw that Randy Weingarten clip. So I'm gonna make sure to go have some tonight, all right? Show your Valentine some love. And how thoughtful you are with a sweet gift assortment of CBD products. It is cbdistillery.com. Use promo code LOVE for 20% off. That is 20% off only for a limited time. So make sure you go there, cbdistillery.com. An Ivy League spokesperson confirmed that transgender swimmer Leah Thomas will be eligible to compete in the upcoming Ivy League women's.
Wow.
Yes, I said women's swimming and diving championship. Then just look, I know I say this all the time, but it never stops being true. I do always feel like we need a flow chart to explain what genitalia, how they were born, all of these when we use the term transgender. So this is a biological male who is competing in these races, in these competitions. And now the biological male will be able to. They say the recent rule changes do not impact Leah's eligibility for this month's Ivy League Women's Swimming and Diving Championships, as the effective date for this unprecedented midseason NCAA policy change begins with the 2022 NCAA Winter Championships. Because as I don't know if you guys heard, but they have this new policy that recently came out that they defer to national governing bodies for sport eligibility, the NCAA does. But they say Leah Thomas will still compete. Colin, I know this is a topic that you, I would say, are fascinated with, but I don't know if that's the right wording.
Yeah, I mean,
it is very frustrated. Yeah, frustrated with. There we go.
Yeah, in a society destruction type of way. You know, it's one of those issues where it's hard to even believe that it's going on because there's so clearly differences between men and women. But they've
that's transphobic. It's really transphobic.
I've been called so many names for that
sure
before.
You have.
It really comes down to the redefinition of what a woman is. You know, most people, and I assume you both hold that a woman is an adult human female.
Yes.
And what a lot of these activists have been able to do is redefine that. Redefine what a woman and a man is, or a boy and a girl, to a person of either sex who just so happens to identify as a woman, as a man, which also pretty much always gets reduced to if they're identifying with these stereotypes of masculinity or femininity, or the roles and expectations of society that puts on individuals because of their sex. And so you don't have to change any rules in the sporting bodies at all. You know, we have the WNBA, we have the women's swimming, and just because we now just have redefined what a woman is, now all these rules that were initially put in place to, to protect female athletes are now people can just identify into these categories. So there's no longer a protected category. And it's not even just sports. It's women's prisons. It's their dressing rooms, day spas, all that type of, any space that was, designated for female only is now multi-sex.
Well, and you say it's not just sports, but I mean, even with the sports, there could be a lot of families who are really dependent on the scholarship. You know, they want their girl wants to go to a specific school and needs a scholarship to do so. And, you know, you can have a boy, I'll just say a dude, come in and swipe it from her because he wasn't good enough to participate in his own competition.
Yeah.
And just think about this. This is a new phenomenon, right? It's only just now starting.
Yeah.
Think about what it's going to look like in 10 years.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse. It's like they're trying to destroy everything that we used to love, right? Mm-hmm. Like we used to love, like people used to have a brand loyalty, and people really loved brands. Apple, whatever, you know, whatever, car brands, all the stuff. But now they're going woke and then taking these public political stances, they're destroying a lot of things that we used to love. Like, I don't look at Coke the same way I used to. That right. seemed to be like an all-American thing. Now I see them as a partisan, you know, bullcrap as they weigh into state politics. Mm-hmm. But it's across the board. It's that. It's movies. Like, there's actors that I don't even want to watch their movies anymore. Because I'm like, shut up. Just act. I don't care about your political stances. And now sports. The thing that we used to love, me personally, used to love about sports is it was a level playing field. No one had an advantage. You had, you know, the advantages that God gave you and how right. hard you worked, you know, and how much, you know, time you put in to get great at your craft. But it's equal. The moment it becomes unequal, they start putting asterisks on your names when it goes for records, like, you know, PEDs and, you know, stuff like that. They still won't allow you to take steroids. You still can't do that. But you can just switch genders if that means you can, and if it gives you an advantage, that's, you know, they're not going to touch it. They're injecting these little things that make us hate what we used to love. And 10 years from now, as this gets a lot worse, who's going to watch sports? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If I love women's sports, but it's a bunch of biological men dominating that sport, I'm not watching. I don't give a crap. Mm-hmm. It'll all come crumbling down. But if you, it's crazy. And as with all leftist, you know, far left policies, the further you take them out to fruition, you take them all the way out to the extreme, you'll see where it ends up. It's dumb. It's ridiculous. And it's meant to destabilize and destroy.
Now,
same thing's gonna happen with this.
Colin, you recently penned an op-ed, and you said, when asked what are your pronouns, don't answer. Can you expand on why you are so transphobic? I'm just kidding.
I do every day on Twitter, so I'm happy to do for you. So it seems like a really innocuous thing to ask, what are your pronouns? And I assume you would just say, oh, she, her, or something. You know,
it just seems. Anymore?
I would never say that.
I actually haven't. That didn't really take over when I was in academia, but now it's the norm in many universities and schools. I still receive all the emails from a lot of the departments that I used to be in, and almost all the signatures.
Stop.
She, her, he, he, they. You know, they'll mix and match.
How do people
as well.
Send their children? They're paying for these.
Yeah,
children
it seems
go there.
Like to most, it probably just seems silly. Or annoying at best, or, you know, exhausting at worst to constantly go in and ask people, you know, my name's Colin, my pronouns are he, him, what are yours?
You're a mom.
And so, but...
oh, I'd have an answer.
But it's actually, I think, much more harmful than people are giving it credit for, because the ideology that's producing these types of requests are based on gender ideology, which, as we see with the trans athletes, decouples whether you're a man or a woman from whether you're male or female. And so when someone is asking you, what are your pronouns, mm-hmm. they're not asking you, are you a female? Mm-hmm. They're actually asking you whether you identify with femininity or the social roles and expectations that are placed on people based on their sex. And most people probably don't identify as, you know, these caricatures of masculinity and femininity. Everyone's sort of a mix or somewhere in between in the way they express themselves. I mean, there's average differences, and males are more likely to be more stereotypically masculine. But this is, you know, there's a lot of people who are gender nonconforming, and it wouldn't be a big issue if people were just, you know, saying that, oh, I'm identifying as a woman because I'm more feminine. But we're currently describing people who are gender nonconforming. This is called now gender dysphoria if you identify as these other stereotypes, right. if you don't fit them. And these come with puberty blockers for kids, cross-sex hormones, irreversible surgeries. And so whenever if you're participating in these pronoun rituals, you're basically operating within that ideology that says that whether you're a man or woman is completely disconnected from sex.
Yeah.
Same thing when you describe yourself as a cis man or woman.
Right.
That language is operating within an ideology. And they're using these pronoun rituals to sort of normalize gender ideology throughout society.
So stop answering. All right, we gotta take a break. We'll be back. That was if you liked what you heard here, which obviously this guy is sane, even though we'll forgive him for previously voting Democrat and hold out hope that we'll fully red pill him, you gotta go find his opinion piece. It is in the Wall Street Journal. When asked, what are your pronouns? Don't answer. Also, I'm sure you're on Twitter, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can find me at Swipe Right,
okay.
WRIGHT, my last name.
That's cute.
And also I have a website called Reality's Last Stand that I sort of, it's a weekly newsletter you can subscribe to. Some of them are free. And I talk about sex and gender issues almost exclusively on there.
Because awesome.
I do think it's reality's important. Last stand there, yeah.
Yeah, it's very important. So thank you for all of your great work. And thank you for being the smart person at the table today. Because, I mean, you know, we have Jason here.
So always.
We gotta, yeah. Don't forget, thank if you have not yet subscribed, go to blazetv.com. You can use promo code NEWS, save you some money.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.